Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
We thank you because we know you are deliberate with the syllables you are operating with as touching the army you are raising. I know they are here tonight. Ask my Father and my God, speak to us again. Amen. Send us that word. Amen. Let veils that have trapped men in mediocrity fall off. Amen. Let people see themselves. Amen. Let them see what they should do. Amen. We ask for supply of utterance, that it will be words as intended by you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Let's give the Lord a big one. Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you, Streams of Life. God bless you. Amen. So let's turn our Bibles quickly. Genesis. We start from Genesis. Let's go to Exodus. Amen. If you are there, say amen. Now, the book of Exodus, because now I want to teach, and I beg you to please listen, all right? Depending on where you are listening from, it will meet you at any level. Is that okay? Good. Now let's start Exodus chapter number 1. Very, very interesting reading. And there are reasons why I want us to start from verse 1 and look at it, all right, critically, and trust God for insight. Is that okay? If you are there, say amen. Exodus chapter number 1, we start the reading from verse 1. Now, these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob. Yes. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Yes. Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin. Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. Yes. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. Full stop. Let's continue. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and they increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. So let's stop there. So we are seeing an introduction, or let me say a reintroduction, and it's now in summary to the life of Joseph, how that 70 men came with Jacob to do, or to sojourn in that land, particularly for food. Don't forget that. They came for what? Food. Who was in charge of the food? Joseph. Is that okay? I will have to reverse a bit because I just want to take off from, you know, where we stopped the other time. You know how Joseph had that grass to grave story? Came in as a slave. But there was something upon his life. And one of the things I'm going to show you is that what was upon his life is both grace and knowledge. Not just grace. If all you carry is grace, if there's no corresponding knowledge, you can't stand in that grace for long. You'll miss it. So anywhere you see consistency, there's not just grace, there's a body of knowledge pushing the result you're seeing. Is that okay? He came to the house of Potiphar. He was among the least slave. Potiphar observed that the hand of God was upon him, made him ruler over his house, such that the Bible said Potiphar didn't know anything about his house except for the food that he eat, meaning that he could trust Joseph. He was not just a man graced to bring prosperity. He was also an effective manager. You don't, Potiphar was not a fool. Fools don't grow wealth. He wasn't a fool. And please get that statement in context. It's not a doctrine. But there's something about reduction that is consistent with foolishness. And there is something about increase that is consistent with wisdom. So even when the rich fool grew rich, he still died. And when you are dead, you don't have anything. Nabal was rich, but because there was no body of knowledge, he still died. So Potiphar wasn't a fool. He knew how he gathered his wealth. And before you see people who have labored for their resources, trust it to the hands of a man, then they have seen something similar. Prudence. You don't ask a man who wants to stand before greatness, how much do I have there? And they say, I think you have about. There's always precision with prudence. Anywhere there's no precision, somebody's not ready for greatness. There's this program I watch. People come to pitch for investment and all that. And they were asking the girl, the money you are pitching for, okay, she mentioned the amount. What do you want to do with the money? She said, I want to get an office space, and I think the office space is about 1.5 million. And when I heard the word, I think. He said, what do you want to do with the rest? I said, I'm going to employ, I think about 3 staffs, 1 accountant and so on. I keep hearing that word, I think and I think. Nobody invests in potential. They invest in result. And if you're going to show me that what I'm going to put in your hands will multiply, then you must be precise. Joseph didn't just carry that grace. He carried the body of knowledge. Not just the body of knowledge, the discipline of a manager. If not, for Potiphar to hear that he was trying to sleep with his wife and didn't kill him, he must have been too important to die. Do you know that even a thief that is not skilled will die anyhow? A lazy thief, they will kill him on the fence. Because the stomach is too big. He's eating everything. Correct thieves, they gym. And then they run so they can. Do you understand what I mean? They will waste him. And that's, you see, some countries, when they see somebody who is even in fraudulent activity, there's a way they will look at the individual and say, you are good, you are better on our side than to be in prison. And they renegotiate. You see, commitment is a language. If you are not speaking it, don't expect much. It is a language. You have to speak the language of commitment. And it shows in basic things. Anybody who does small things in a small way will do big things in a small way. He's just used to doing things in a small way. Can I come again? Anyone who does small things in a small way will do big things in a small way. He can't do big things in a big way. He doesn't have the experience. So you get to people's house, they were scattered. You can check. You will see that their prayers have no routine. It's the same spirit. It's the same spirit. So, and from there he got to prison. When he got to prison, those in prison saw. So I'm trying to please introduce you to this guy. Before you begin to look at his mistake, let me first introduce you to this amazing guy, Joseph. When he got to prison, they observed that even the most notorious prisoner cop is around him. That's a level of relationship management. Such that even those who were in charge of prison didn't also bother to know the prisoners. They were no longer checking in the morning and at night. Because if Joseph is around, they will all be there. If the first one was a mistake, this can't be. Do you understand what I'm saying? And they just observed. The Bible said that the chief, he didn't take thought for any prisoner. Why? Joseph was also in prison. So there's no such thing as, this thing I carry is not working because of where I am. If it is true, it works everywhere. It's not like it's not working in Ibadan. Listen to this. Listen. It worked everywhere. There are no dry places. There are dry men. There are no dry places. Every land has our own gold. It takes men who can spot it. And from there, he got, and you know how Joseph got out of prison. Listen. Listen, grace as to our religious way of using it did not bring him out of prison. It was the force of personal testimony. In fact, if I'm going to use a business language, he came out of prison through recommendations. He was the best at what he was doing in the prison, so he could be recommended in the palace. So he came out through recommendation. All right. If probably when he came out, when the other guy came out of prison, that he said, "Don't forget me here," and the guy forgot him for 2 years. If Joseph had requested to send him letters that, you know, you are a stupid person. You know how I help you. You know, you are an idiot. How will he recommend him? Now, listen. You've got to have a blend of emotional management plus this grace you are carrying. Because grace can bring it and your emotions spoil it. If someone is not available to help you today, they can help you tomorrow. And if they can't help you tomorrow, maybe the help is not to come from them. But the relationship can still work. As simple as that. When we need you, didn't help us, where have you been? Is that fellow dead? Is that the peak of what God can do through this individual? No. Only a fool speaks in a hurry. Wise men take time. You observe. Is this all that God can do? Before you conclude about a person, have you seen the future? That this is all that can ever emerge from them. And those who operate from the perspective of the future holds, they are careful. Are you following what I'm saying? Those who say any little thing, see, from today, I block your number, you don't know life. When you know life, you will know that 1,000 friends are not enough. One enemy is too much. You're careful. You don't make enemies in a hurry. Some even inherit enemies. Oh, you are fighting this person. Count it that you are fighting the both of us. That's a fool. Because they will settle and then you are left hanging. They will settle. In fact, look at the election is holding. Let me give you the case of Biafra. Millions of people have died. Estimated over 2 million people died during Biafra war. And when they were going to call it off, it was over a plate of meal in Ghana. Colonel Ojukwu and the then President Gowon, they shared the meal. That was the end of the war. But those that died, died. Don't fight another man's battle. Don't fight another man's battle. And sometimes it can be your parent. One is always reporting the other. You are not a mediator. You are just a privileged listener. Listen and say, hmm. See, you can't misquote hmm. Because when they settle, they will discuss it on the bed. And the curious one will ask, when you told Fumi, what did she say? You've offended that girl. She was angry. You've offended that girl. You need to go and beg her. She was angry. In fact, I had to help her change her mind. She was already hating you. Then the mother will say, eh. The man is saying, go and beg. Women don't think like that. Following morning, Fumi will say, Mommy, good morning. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, you're going to learn very important things tonight. We've not started. All right. So, from there, he got recommended to the palace. You know, I was thinking about something when Pharaoh had that dream. He couldn't interpret the dream. Could it be that different kings had that dream, but they didn't have the quality of men like Joseph? If God said he couldn't do anything without hide it from Abraham, his friend, could it be that Jacob saw, but the interpreter has been sold? Could it be that it was not a famine that should claim lives? There was just a need for men who can unravel the mystery. Could it be? Because sometimes we are quick to judge things as the act of God. And God himself is revealing because he doesn't want it to happen. Why will he reveal if he wants it to happen? Why was Anna barren? She said, God has sealed my womb. So it must be that she repented from that thought to pray to the same God, then the womb was open. Because if you believe you are going through this because God did it, you can't cry to the one who did it. So could it be that it was not just Pharaoh? Because we saw Nebuchadnezzar also had a dream in his own time, and Daniel was there. I'm just thinking. And at this point, the question is, you've got to walk through life with a discernment of what prophetic interpreters are. Let me come again. You have to walk through life with a discernment of who your prophetic interpreters are. Now, because those people are the ones that carry the grace to unravel what is in quotes, and it can come through teachings. If you go and despise your interpreters, you will experience famine because there is no interpretation. What could have been avoided will come and take you away. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes you listen to many ministers, but not all has been sent to you as your interpreters. One of the ways you know your interpreters is that your season will be clear when they are speaking. It will be clear. You just know that, why is it like? It's like everything God is saying is here. All right. If it is consistent, stay close. You will see, you can't get lost. You will always get the blueprints, the roadmap. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, oh, yes. But, you know, I looked at this scripture. They had to go and tell Jacob, the grandson of Abraham, that there's food in Egypt, in the land of a strange God. And Jacob had to send his sons. Then they had to come back in his old age and say, you also have to come. And he had to go in his old age in search of food. Did God break the covenant with Abraham? No. When interpreters are missing, covenant is of no effect. Because even covenant has to be understood. It doesn't work in isolation. Doesn't work. Jethro could come close to Moses and understand, if you continue like this, though anointed, you will die. Do this, do that. And Moses could maximize his essence and the ministry because somebody came carrying the grace. He may not carry the anointing and fire like you, but you can survive because of what he knows. You see, one of the things I've mapped out in ministry is to understand those that my words are on their lips. Do you get what I'm saying? I don't want to go into that. Do you understand what I'm saying here? So, I told him, famine is coming. There'll be years of plenty and then years of doubt. Now, at the point that Joseph was speaking, all the resources of Egypt had failed. The lecturers lecturing sorcerers had given his own remark. He couldn't interpret it. Now, in scriptures, I think we have to examine the quality of men that stood before kings. See, favor can make way for you, but favor alone does not keep you there. And I'm going to say some things that will damage religion. It was not favor that brought Joseph before the king. It was capacity. Let me come again. Do you understand what I'm saying? Can I come again? It was not favor that brought Joseph before Pharaoh. It was what? Capacity. Though gift from God, but he had gained expertise using that gift. It was not a novice. When Saul was tormented with evil spirit, it was not favor that brought David to Saul. It was the skill of his hands. You see, one of the reasons why many people don't get their way out is because they are not honestly interpreting the problems. The moment you can interpret the problems wrong, you can't get the answers. Alright? Why did you fail at this business? The devil came all out for me in that season. You will fail again. Why is your marriage not working? The hand of the devil has been against us. It will go bad and go from bad to worse. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I've seen also, these are very serious things in the body of Christ. Sometimes people die of what they call attacks. And I'm not saying there are no attacks. But sometimes this attack can be diagnosed. Then this attack can be treated. Do you understand what I'm saying? But you say you have this attack and then you don't do either of the both. Then you die. So when you fail to interpret problems, you can't get the answers. You can't get the answer. And that's a word for you tonight. Alright? Many believers are living in superstition. They are living a superstitious life. And this is like this because you see, the enemy is roaring like a lion in this season. No. Sometimes you don't just know what you should know. If I can counsel you and by giving you some body of wisdom, this attack will still not be effective. It means the attack cooperated with ignorance. Because I've seen cases, people say, this is an attack of the devil. And I said, sit down, I'm going to give you 15 minutes. And by the time I'd counseled them without chasing the devil, the attack was neutralized. Maybe it was never an attack. Maybe it's an attack of ignorance. You didn't know it. So, you were exploited. Do you understand what I'm saying? And many children in African homes have learned to misbehave because they know their mothers will say it is the devil. And once you can say it is the devil, it means no one is going to take responsibility. The devil didn't take your hands to steal meat. Oh boy. The devil did not unzip your trousers and a girl is pregnant. The devil didn't. The devil is where he is. You lost, or you have temptations when you are drawn off your own lust. Do you understand what I'm saying? I've never seen where the devil kissed in the Bible. Talk to me now. Did you see where the devil kissed? Maybe he kissed somebody that you know. Ah, I don't know if somebody, nobody that I know has said the devil did that. Someone has gone for an interview and didn't get the job and say it's because I've not broken that curse. And when you look at the fellow, the way the fellow dressed the interview, you know, this fellow should only get a job at the market. Maybe as a security or something. The devil that said it was 5 minutes to the time for the interview that you should check if your shirt is washed or not. What an amazing devil. I think if the devil should stand in a law court, 90% of the blames on him will come from Africa. And maybe 80% of that 90% will come from Christians. Why is the church not going? It's the devil. You know, this environment that we have, the clout of demons in this area. Grace must meet body of knowledge. Do you understand what I'm saying? The devil is who you blame when you don't know what you should do to get out of where you are. So I started studying. I mean, before, please take me to that scripture. Before, Joseph was made to stand before Pharaoh. Though with the solution, there was something they did. He had a solution and he was coming to solve a problem that no one had solved. And the king will not see him in a hurry until he has done certain things. So they sent and brought Joseph and they brought him in hastily out of the, they brought him out of the dungeon in a haste, but they didn't take him for the king in a hurry. They shaved him. He shaved himself. In fact, they didn't shave him. He shaved himself and changed his raiment and came before Pharaoh. He had this knowledge. You know, some people say, what I don't have is the opportunity. No. Sometimes you don't have the opportunity and you're also not ready for it. While he was there, he didn't have the opportunity, but he was ready. As they brought him out in the hurry, he said, can you please give me a moment? Let me shave. Let me change. So I will not just look like a man that brought the solution, but I can look like a man that should be kept here. Because sometimes some people solve certain things for you, but you know they can't do it again. You just have to let them go. And you pay them peanuts. Because they don't look like people for this standard. Particularly when they come and they say, wow, what beauty of the palace. Look at what I'm seeing. Look at the gold. Wow. You know they are not for there. Solve what you solve, go. We can even send somebody after you to learn it in your shadows. He shaved himself and changed his raiment. So somebody said, what does raiment? All these cloth, people are buying. It's so carnal. You're not ready for kings. He changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. Now, does this look also like that king that married Esther? The wife had left, or they had sent the wife away, but he still did not marry those virgins in a hurry. Kings don't rush. You know, when I took time to study the kind of oil they gave them, it was the oil that will bring out your original skin. So in case you bleached, it will bring you back to who you were, who you have always been. It was a oil to bring them out for who they are. So the king didn't rush. All these guys who unzip trousers in a hurry, that's not a king. That's not a king. Kings don't rush. They take their time. Are you following what I'm saying there? Does this also look like what happened in the book of Daniel's? Daniel. The king told them, these are the categories of men you should select. And I'm going to go there. So I found out that kings only interact with premium quality. Kings. Only interact with what? Premium quality. So listen, it is not enough to say, God, I receive the grace to stand before kings. Fantastic. If you understand the meaning of that prayer to be, I receive the grace to become a premium quality. And it will interest you to know that grace alone does not make men premium. One of the things we have abused the most in the body of Christ is that word grace. Such that somebody just come and say, I want to tap off the grace that is, when I say that, let me break it down. Some things are functioning by the hand of God. Okay? But there are some, let me give you this instance. Someone says that I love the way you teach and I just want to sow so I can take that grace. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't. I wish it works that way. There are many people that would have gone to buy what they have. So, sometimes what we call grace is the result of hard work behind the scene. When men don't see what is behind the scene, they say it's just grace. And we must stop lying to this generation and tell them, you've got to work on this. You understand what I'm saying? Kings only deal with premium qualities. In fact, the word premium quality means superior in quality. Superior in quality. It describes what is higher in value and price. It describes what is higher in value and price. Now, listen to this. Kings go for premium quality women. Amen. Premium quality women. I'm not going to go into that. And you can't push me to go into that. Amen. Are there premium quality women? Yes. And it's not in looks. I'm just going to leave it there. Because you can see a bacha woman that is as curved as it. Figure eight. But it's bacha. Not premium. You get the word abacha from bacha. Kings drink premium quality wine. That's why when Jesus turned water to wine, it was better than the one they had served. It had to be better than what they had served. It had to be better. Because God doesn't deal with inferior quality. What kind of food was manna? That they were not sick because of it for 40 years. Premium quality. Kings live in premium quality houses. I'm not saying you should go and break your house if you've not gotten there yet. I'm just showing you what kings go for. And I'm going to show you scriptures for all this. Is that okay? Kings are premium quality associates. Kind of men who relate with kings are premium quality. It means they are the best in town. When you look for the best, come to the palace. Now, let me say this to you. It is the importance of the king that makes premium legal. Can I come again? It is the importance. If there's anyone who is doing what is as significant as this, should also be entitled to premium quality. But if you neglect the task and you want the luxury, it's scam. It's illegal. Life doesn't give that to anybody. He has to sleep on premium quality bed because he needs to be able to think. If what you do on that premium quality bed is to waste life and time, then you can't be on it for long. Kings don't eat for fun, they eat for strength. Kings even have premium quality slaves. So among slaves, there are those who are fit for the palace. They said, this one is different. Though a slave, it's different. Can you please take me to the book of Daniel? Let's look at Daniel chapter number 1, please. Let's look at the specific request. If you're there with me, please say amen. Now let's start the reading from verse 1. Please follow me. Is that okay? I just have to do this part 1. We have 3 parts we are going tonight. In the 3rd year of the reign of Joachim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. Yes. And the Lord gave Joachim, king of Judah, into his hands. When you read God gave into his hand, they still fought. With part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his gods. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his gods. And the king spake to Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that it should bring certain, specific kind of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. Yes. Children in whom there's no blemish. Take care of yourself. That's simple. But well favored. If you want well favored there, looks so spiritual. So we're going to break it down now. And can you give me this in message, in Amplified, so we can look at it again? Amplified, please. Daniel 1:4, Amplified. Thank you. Youth without blemish, well favored in appearance. That is, when you look at the way they dress, you say, this one has been favored. And then it also attracts favor. Skillful in all wisdom. Discernment. You know, some people are not discerning. They don't know when to talk and when not to talk. When you look at the manner of life they've given themselves to, and how that they have wired their lives not to be sensitive to environment, you know, they can't really do well. Are you aware? Can we be very honest? Can we be very honest? You know, when a doctor is taking care of a patient and you know the condition is going bad, there's still a part of you that says, but, you know, God is going to take care. But sometimes in your depth of heart, you know that this fellow is going. And there are times you look at believers and say, yes, we're just going to do some palliative treatment. But this fellow is not fine. That word discernment is a very strong word. People who can, they know how to prepare for the occasion. It's a training. Nobody is born like that. People train themselves for that. There are people that they can see you talking with important people. And yes, I told you this. That's not training. They are not ready for more. And anytime you have important people around you, you want to put structures that will regulate their kind. Many are praying, but their kind are among the least to be pushed outside. But they are praying. Let's leave that. Discernment and understanding. They are people of understanding. They're apt in learning, quick to learn, learning knowledge, competent to stand. And serve in the king's palace. You see, that's something. There are believers that they don't look like one who have palace in their agenda. It looks like somewhere in their thought process, in their thinking, they have thought about it and they have agreed that it is not for their kind. I'm saying this from a conclusion. I'm saying this from what I have concluded. Having dealt with people directly in ministry for over 13 years. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? So January 5 this year made it 14 years in ministry. Okay? Now don't clap. So I have seen things and I have observed that when you keep telling people adjust this and do like this and they keep dragging, most times they are not stubborn. They have just concluded that all those big things you are trying to prepare us for, it is just not for my kind. And I'm telling you, there are many believers, pastors are shouting, receive. But fellow to receive is saying, it's not for my kind. No one in my family has gotten this. You see, check. Many people have given up on certain premium realities of life. Some have some certificates, but they can't apply in powerful places because they are defeated already on the inside. Instead, you should look for men who are competent to stand and serve in the palace. That is, they look like people that should serve in the palace. And there is a way to recognize that kind. Over time, life began to shovel people. Water finds its level. But to the prayers you are praying, the one that it will look like they are the ones God heard are those who have strategically positioned themselves. You know, when we all pray, it looks like God only heard a few. Let me give you this instance. Can I have one of our children? Motuayo, let me bring her, please. Come. Come. Quickly, run down. Quickly. Now, this is one of my very precious daughters. Now, if she comes to meet me and say to me, Pastor, please, I want you to pray for me that God will take me to SS3 by next week. Now, if she's the best in her class, if God really takes her to that class, SS3, give her 1 year, she will conclude that she's a failure in life. Though the best in the class, but not for that class. Sometimes people are sufficient to be the best in the low state, but don't just take me higher. Best in that face me, I face you, Lord, where everything you see communicates death, smallness. Thank you, there. And I've told people that, see, you may not really be able to choose where you were born, but you can choose your destination. And one of the ways to choose your destination is to choose your inspiration. See, you miss it at that junction, you fail woefully. You fail woefully. There are believers who are not inspired by nothing. It's not expensive to locate those who should inspire you. And when you see it again and again, you get better. Because somehow you just lose comfort where you are. Are you following what I'm saying here? And I was showing you that this morning, that when Esau came before Isaac, he said, do you have just one blessing? Do you have just one blessing? Bless me too. And Isaac said, I have blessed your brother and he shall be blessed. I have made him ruler over you and your ruler shall he be. However, when this same you become restless, no matter the force of the blessing I have placed on him, you break the yoke. You check their story. Jacob went on to become complacent. Esau went on to become restless. When they later met, it was like it was Jacob, Esau carrying the blessing, not Esau. Jacob's life was the one that didn't show the blessing, even to the point of Joseph. So at some point, the only part that was useful in Jacob was the womb, like I explained, to carry the generation that will carry it. Like when Abraham went with Lot, God left Abraham and went to his womb. Your seed will do this. When Eve failed, God said, your seed will bruise the head of the serpent. There comes a time you take yourself to a point that your only relevance is to give birth. Just exist to procreate. And listen, I'm trying to help you understand this, that whichever place you set your most important assignment, once you are done, you are no longer legal to be here. And that's why you can understand at Moses, at 80, Moses was still starting ministry. You ought to live longer. You take yourself to where you can finish at 40. Let me leave that. Competent! There are many prayerful. God have mercy. Can I? Do you know I'm honestly not attacking prayer? Because I pray. But I'm saying this because for such a long time there are questions unanswered. There are questions that unbelievers have, that if what you are doing is the answer, how come those of us who are not doing it are getting the results we are not getting? We've got to put the perspective right. Prayer is powerful, but it's not the ultimate. It's not everything. I've told people that even in ministry, you can do it with passion, but the ministry look like your mindset. It doesn't look like your prayer point. It looks like your mindset. It looks like your mindset. Sometimes, you don't understand what I'm saying. Sometimes you are praying about something, but your mind is against the result. You just are not the person for that. Men who are competent to stand and serve dignitaries in the king's palace. Why? The king only sees premium quality men. Premium quality. The best in town. You don't find anyone better in appearance and in their poise, their skill, their comportment. Believers have not learned that there's something called comportment. That you don't just open your mouth baga and talk. There's a way to talk. Even when you teach, there's a way to teach. Even when you sing, there's a way. Ah, we are Alpha and Omega. That's somebody who is not going anywhere. And I've said this, that you sang a song. If it's not good, you say, Holy Spirit, cover it. It won't. When you do your homework well, it will cover it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Who do you think is praying the correct prayer? The one who has an interview on Monday, 10 a.m. and has prepared all his clothes on Friday. And he's saying, God, I received grace to understand all that is required and check all the questions online and ask those who know, because you have to go to them that sell. And the one that by 9:30 is saying, my white shirt, God, I pray it is ironed. Oh God, I pray it is ironed. Oh God, I pray it is ironed. Which of them do you think is really praying? Sometimes you are just telling God, show me we are partners in irresponsibility. That's what you're doing. Sometimes you are trying to make God look like a fool. And the fact that it is a prayer does not make God obligated to answer. Some prayers are wrong in themselves. And God doesn't answer wrong prayers. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. Oh God, this is. Are you following what I'm saying here? When you sang, you didn't check the beat, they didn't master it, they didn't mix it, and just say, oh God, we are going to do 21 days night vigil on this song as we are going to put it out of the body of Christ. It's going to bless and shake territories. But sincerely, when we listen to this, do we find it interesting to get our attention? If you release the snippet, can that 30 seconds make me salivate and want more? Who is cutting out the snippet? What kind? What type? What part are they cutting out? Nothing just appears. Anything that is good, there's a mind behind it. You don't understand what I'm saying? Anything working, there's a mind that will not take less. There's a mind that will not take no. There's a mind that wants the best. Sit, do it, take it back, let's repeat and check this out. Let's compare and do this again. Anyone who does things shabbily is not going anywhere. And I've told people, watch out. If the people around you do things in the least level it should be done, they are not your men. When you give people assignment and they do it in the simplest way possible, those are dangerous men. Even, you don't understand what I'm saying. And when they don't get the result in that simplest way, they say it can't be done. Those are not premium men. Listen, there are different kind of instructions. There are simple instructions. Even a fool can do it. There are multiple instructions. Take those who can multitask. There are complex instructions. Take those who can see possibility in impossibilities. Premium men can obey complex instructions. Not just simple and multiple. Complex. That when the matter is complex and now the wisdom of the wise has been refuted, what class of men will get the result by all means? There's a special squad in American military. They are special soldiers. They call them commandos, general names, but they have another name. I'm black something. That was the squad that went after Osama bin Laden. They are sealed. There's a squad. Now, these guys, when they go for any mission, there is no part of that mission that gives room for plan B in case it doesn't work. In fact, when you see the documentary of how they were able to get Osama bin Laden, one of their choppers was not responding. They exploded it. They were not going to leave it. Now this class of soldiers, if for any reason they are captured, there is nothing on them that can trace them to America. So they are ready to even die as a nobody. Sent you to the point of death, they will die. That's the kind of training. And that's why once those guys captured him, they retired all of them and paid them for life. Sometimes you said, Usain Bolt is only running a few seconds, but he's making billions of dollars. And he said, I've taken all my life to prepare for that few seconds. And many of us just won't. We just pray, Lord, rain manna. And when you get to the promised land, where is manna? You have to farm. You have to farm. And look at it, competent to stand and serve in the king's palace and to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. Premier men are multiracial and multicultural. You can't just wire yourself to be relevant for Nigeria. God is not limited to the scope of this nation. Many of us are going to write books in French, in Spanish, and in different other languages. Multiracial, multicultural in their wiring. They've embraced other cultures. They've checked it out. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is there someone there who said, Lord, I receive grace to go and become a premium quality believer? Do you understand what I'm saying? See, grace may qualify a man for ministry. Seeing therefore 2 Corinthians 4:1, that we have this ministry, having received mercy, we faint not. We have renounced eating things of dishonesty, not working in craftiness, and all that. But there are special assignments that the qualification is not mercy. It is a track record. Can I come again? And see, we don't, do you think God is not profit oriented? If ministers are described by Paul, letter of Paul to Ephesians, as God giving gifts to men, do you think God will really give a bad gift? Do you think you can really do yourself anyhow and you can be a gift to a generation that God gives? Even God gives premium quality. So Joseph was a premium quality young man, serving in the palace, giving his best. Anyone that seeks to walk in high places must build premium quality capacity. You learn. Don't just buy Christian literatures. Get books. Master the science of communication. Public speaking. Are you following what I'm saying here? See, don't ignore what can be changed. If it can be changed, it should be changed. If it can be upgraded, it should be upgraded. So there's no sucking at. With the family I was born, we don't really eat with cutleries. It can be learned. And you don't even need much to learn it. You can learn it on YouTube. One of the ways I will know the kind of life you are preparing for is to check your search history. What are you searching for? What is this fellow looking for? And all that. So at the time that all others had failed, where premium quality individuals could function. And among premiums, there are premiums. So Joseph came out. And he was able to help. Now, because I'm just showing you the quality of men that stands before kings. But I consider it an insult for a Pharaoh to come. And they said, though all those generations died. And they said, he didn't know Joseph. Let me ask you a question. Where's Apostle Ababalola? He's dead. The generation that was with him, where are they? They're all dead. But how come we can't forget him? It will be an insult to forget some works. Though I'm still going to get to the point where I will show you that sometimes for history to favor, you've got to be part of the writers. You can't just leave it to men. One of the plans you must have is to write your own autobiography. So they don't misunderstand and misconstrue and muddle up your stories. Because once lies mix up, it lacks the weight it should carry. Do you, how do you, wait, who lectured Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to write everything Jesus was saying and around them. Could it be that Jesus taught them to write? Will there be gospels if they were not writing? Many of you have lost ideas more than you look. You just won't write. And the shortest pencil is better than the sharpest memory. But they just won't write. God has given many people what to bring them out of. By now, some had received ideas that even Elon Musk did not receive half. But they just won't do anything. Because can you do anything about what you have forgotten? And powerful things are volatile. They evaporate on time. They don't stay. Because they are sent to many people at once. But it's those who can journal them, chronicle them, then walk with them. Are you following what I'm saying here? So the guy came to him. A king came and knew not Joseph. Don't forget, the objective of this teaching is to raise believers that will not just be concerned with personal success, but generational success. And how can we build institutions around our success? How can it not just be about a person, but about a people? One of the reasons why a king could come that knew not Joseph was that no one carried on the legacies of Joseph. Legacy. So I kept asking. I do not know if you have taken time to look at the magnitude of what Joseph did. Joseph did not just rescue them from famine. He made them the greatest nation at that time. There are two different things. Do you understand what I'm saying? The wealth of a nation controls more than just resources. Controls a lot, controls people. There are probably some strategic alliances they could not enter before, but now they could enter. And the negotiation power was food. Probably some kings refused to join force with them, and now that we have food, will you join force with us? We'll give you food in exchange. That's how kings trade. They transact with advantage. So he made many things possible. But what exactly is famine? Have you thought about it? So I made a few research and about some the famines that hit the head. In fact, some of you still remember the story of Biafra. How that when the war was going on, a politician suggested that you can't be fighting people and feeding them. So they lay siege. Nothing was coming in. Nothing was going out. More people died through starvation than through bullets. More people. An estimation of over 2 million people. Something happened in the year 1993 in South Sudan. Some of you must have seen this picture. It was taken by a South African photographer. The picture of a child on the floor with a vulture behind the child. That's what starvation looks like. The child was actually on her way to a food camp. And because of starvation, the child collapsed on the way. And the vulture landed behind the child, waiting for the child to die. So the vulture also can feed. Hope you know when there's famine, the one who's getting fat is vultures. Because there'll be many dead. The fellow who took that picture, Kevin Carter, died after receiving the award for that picture in 1994. The guy committed suicide still in 1994. And people were saying probably because he didn't rescue the child. But that's the horror of famine. It gets so bad people eat their children. When there's hunger, there's chaos. How many of you? Are you aware that the modern day warfare, that's the picture, will not be fought through not just using guns and missiles and all that. They are going to use cyber weapons. You jam certain network, people can withdraw money, they can sell. What will happen? They clog supermarkets. Now that there's going to be issue, people want to, they panic buy. And when such goes on for a while, people will be ready to put a bullet in somebody's head for a cup of rice. Because when there's hunger, people are desperate. So he rescued them from a potential case of cannibalism. They were actually going to die in their numbers. And when there's famine, it kills people, more people than wars. Famine kills, in fact, famine kills more than what any war can claim. Let me read quite some number of statistics. Let me show you some things. And these are things you can verify. All right. In year 2016, Yemen was hit with famine, and BBC documented that 16 million people went hungry and over 400 children died of acute malnutrition in a year. Not with guns, no food. All right. I've just shown you the story of what happened in 1993. In 1945, now look at this. Vietnam had famine crisis and over 400 to 2 million people died of starvation in 1845 in Highland. Over 2 million people were forced to migrate, with 1.5 million people died of starvation in 1943. In a place called Bangui, 7.2 million people died due to famine. In just one place. How many people? 7.2 million. In 1770, in that same place, over 10 million people died. In 1921, Russia lost 5 million people to famine. And we can go on and on. When there's no food, different things happen. See, you can, if you have some knowledge around these things, you can begin to postulate a lot of things. Children mortality rate will increase. Mortality rate of pregnant women will increase. Children are complete parasites. They will feed on what they have to feed. You can see that when there's famine, a woman who is breastfeeding will be drying up, and the babies that is being breastfed will be drying up because nothing is coming out. Breast milk is not something that comes out all the time by itself. You've got to feed well. And sometimes when you see a nursing mother who have not eaten and is trying to feed a child, they will be shivering and shaking because it takes a lot. Some kings secretly eat their wives and eat slaves during famine. They just want anything to put water. Have you seen people who went adrift? Their boat has gone adrift. They are on the sea, but they can't drink that water because it is salty. And some of them survive by drinking their urine. It's that serious. People become predisposed to many things once there's famine. Then suddenly there's a revolution. Those who don't have will kill those who have to get what they have. And people will be ready to die. Look at what happened during the COVID pandemic. People found out that there were storehouses in different states, that the government had released food. That's not even a case of famine, just lockdown. And I saw a particular state, for the sake of the internet, I'm not going to mention the state, that people went there, were, as usual, they were breaking those storehouses and getting their foods out. And the officers there opened fire. And they were shooting people, some on their heads, some on their bellies. What do they want? Food. And people will trample on each other. When Elijah prophesied that by this time tomorrow there will be food. But you have said that even if God opened the window of heaven, right, it will not be like that. He said you will hear, you will see, but you will not eat. Because of the desperation of the people, when there's no food, they march on each other and kill. And nobody cares about who is dead. Because if you care, you also die. That's the reality. Famine is not a case of just lack of food. There's also drought. No water. People can survive the lack of food for quite some number of days. But water, less. Everywhere is parched. Everywhere is dry. Everywhere is nobody in the streets. There's no strength. All businesses have to stop because there's no food. It was meant like this that Joseph rescued them from. Do you think that history should favor such a man? But history is not kind, for your information. History is not necessarily kind. You've got to know more than doing good for history to favor you. And I can say it again. You've got to know more than doing just good. See, you need the wisdom of a serpent. What did I say? You need the wisdom of a... Some of you are just looking calm, like you don't understand what I'm saying. You need the wisdom of a... You are as gentle as a dove, but you need to be as wise as serpents. They bake the heads of doves with stones. Buck off their heads. It's good to be gentle, but you've got to be wise. You wonder how a man like Daniel survived in Babylon. Not just common sense. How will they lock him in a lion's den and the king himself will not be able to sleep? Would it be that Daniel understood the way to the king's heart? You are the one who won't do things right and conclude your boss hates you. You're not ready for life. I'm not ready to go and do that thing. I'm not ready to go and do that work in that place. There's so much politics in that ministry. If God is sending you there, enter. See, you've got to understand when you don't yet have negotiation power. Sometimes what you are asking for, you've got to find a way to climb to the top to do it. You don't understand what I'm saying there. You've got to find a way to first climb to the top and what? Do it. Daniel had to first qualify amongst the best. Then he can request, can you please allow me not to eat of this king's portion? You need to have a level of power to negotiate. If you negotiate without track record, you'll be thrown out. I went to that place and then that's how they were telling me that in this place you have to, when the bosses are going out, so you have to go out with the boss, and sometimes when we are discussing is at bars and we're talking at the bar, so I can't take such a job because how can I be pitching for business at a bar? If light don't shine where there is darkness, what is light afraid of? And now you are quiet on me. Should a believer be in the bar because his work takes him there? As long as the bar is not in him. Now I'm breaking the teeth of religion. Yet you lose it, but you don't have any other thing that makes you desired. Your replacements are around. There are plenty. They are not the man to negotiate. Am I saying compromise your standard? No. But I'm saying rise, then negotiate. Rise without compromising the standard. If it's a game, play it. You didn't get that. Do you know the reason why we are few in politics? Because we don't play the game. I've made the mistake myself. While I was studying this, I said, I've made the mistake. Why should we have a vice president in Nigeria who actually is a pastor and he can't resign in the midst of this? He should stay there. It's better he stays. And we know our kind is there. It's better he stays. We misunderstand him. We repent. And if we don't repent, it doesn't matter. There are things people say at their level, they will come to be wise over time. You don't try to make sense to everybody. Leaders walk alone for as long as they have to. Maybe with time or with experience, somehow they will come around. And when they come around, you become the reference. Daniel was not made to bow to the statue of the king, because before they erased the statue, the king already said he's a god. He was in a different class. There is a class that didn't bow. There's a class that has been exempted. And he played their politics. The only time he didn't compromise was when they said, don't pray. And he opened his window and turned towards Jerusalem, because actually he was raising petitions. There are points we don't compromise, but we've got to learn how to enter. There is a way to say, I don't drink. You can rather say, can I have malt? I don't do women. You can rather say, I'm married. You see, I'm trying. Because I keep seeing the confrontation of religion. But please listen. Am I saying, don't use Jesus? Listen. Okay. Anyone who believes in Jesus, 2 million people, Jesus is fighting against Satan. 2 million people should say, I love Jesus on this post. There's somebody who just wants traffic. Jesus is not so stupid that the way you win Satan is by you saying, I love Jesus. In fact, Satan is not at war with Jesus. He can't be. He's at war with you. What I'm saying is, there are places you will lose your stand if you don't know the mechanism to communicate. You found out that when you started that job, that business, the places where they approve contract is actually at the club, is at the beer parlor and all that. And one of those days, somebody there said, can you quickly come and see me at so and so place? Say, me, what? Never. God forbid. I cannot enter into a club. There was a complaint on Jesus. Because I'm trying to imagine if Jesus, if now is the time of Jesus, where will you see him? They said, he said, John came, he didn't eat, he didn't drink. You say he has demon. The Son of Man came, he's eating and drinking. You said he's this. He said, we have sang, we have piped, but you refuse to dance. They were actually abusing Jesus that they is relating with sinners. Do you know what it means for Jesus to be in town? And they saw the head of prostitutes, not just pouring oil on him, but actually massaging the feet with her hair. You don't understand what that means. Give me a name. Maybe a name is coming to your mind right now. Somebody you feel like this person, this fellow is this. No, this is the king of all sinners. That was who was actually wiping the feet of Jesus with the hair. You don't understand that. He said, look at him. Look at him. How can this be the Son of God? The reason is because there is something within you that responds to that environment. That's why you are afraid. They are not afraid to come to your church. Feel nothing will happen to them. Am I saying you should start clubbing? No. But I'm saying, sometimes you've got to rise and find your way to climb with the wisdom of God. Understanding the right words to use. The goal is that you are becoming the man that holds the authority, then you can rewrite the narrative. What we now need to do is to train believers with predictable curriculum. That while they are going through that, we must understand that the curriculum of that place is also predictable. If they continue there, they can be wiped off. While that is going on, we have first equipped them that they know that we may be in the world. We are not off the world. We need to have predictable syllabus. I'm losing you now. I know I'm losing a few of you. See, what is he trying to teach us now? Well, what I'm teaching you, there's a Yoruba adage for it. It means until the hands of a child touches the sword of vengeance, he doesn't ask for what kills the father. Now, let me say this to you. We're having a case in Nigeria of a king that rose and you know Joseph. And if you look at the believers who dare to come out now and contest for certain things, the kind of insult, criticism, and harshness around their lives with which they rebuke them is the reason why many believers, all right, don't want to go there. Even if during primaries a believer came out and say, I'm going to contest for this, and they called his name and say no vote, and called his name and say zero vote, he still won for the church. At least he came out. The one who came out and failed is better than the one who will never take a step. So, my uncle, I used to have an uncle who was an alcoholic. One of the most intelligent men I've seen. Very smart. Was lecturing physics in a university in Nigeria. I won't mention the name. So at the point we were staying together. And comes back from work and is marking script. And if he's happy, they will pass. If he fails, if he's not happy, they fail. But I notice that sometimes he's just muttering words to himself. Ele, aliu, kinikan. Go ahead and class me. Doesn't laugh in my class. Always looking like a terror. There are students that assist lecturers in doing certain things. They are not necessarily the best. It is a child that knows how to wash well the hands that will eat with elders. Many believers have clean hands, but they don't know they still need to know how to wash. You've got to learn how to wash well your hands if you are going to eat with elders. I would have loved to bring up a few national matters. Anyone that is going to emerge, place you put your hope is the only of wrong. Are you seeing that? If you look at Nigerian politics, the final place you put your hope is that only God can do something now. True or not true? Because there is a system on ground and it is looking as though the ones that God will use will have to be a Cyrus. Cyrus in the sense that they have to be someone who has been through the system but have a heart of man that God can exploit the heart. You can't enter into the house of a strong man and plunder his house if you don't bind him. There's a network, there's a very dangerous network around the destiny of this nation that believers need to know how to play the game. You are not going to join another political party. It's still that same political party. And you've got to learn how to come out through that same party. You are not going to form a new one because you will not climb. It is still that same party. You've got to attend their campaign. And they say they are sharing rice. And yes, we are sharing rice. Is it a good thing to do? We are climbing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God help me. Because they say this man has backslid. This is not the way he talks. What I'm telling you is a blueprint for this nation. And I'm showing you. Because you may shout, you know what the crowd does? The crowd does, and there's protest when there's no power. Power is not taken. You see, it is one, see, you've got to learn how to climb, then you are trusted with it. I messaged one of the top APC young men just a few days ago, and I said, I recognize you. You are a Daniel. We were together a year back, we were invited for a dinner by the king in Ife. And I saw different political figures, different, were two that were pastors in that place. And you know what I observed? There's a platform. And there are top guys on that platform in this country. And I observed that people don't leave. It is believers' platform that so-and-so left. Yeah, nobody's leaving. They know someday, somehow, I will need a contact here. They know something we don't know. Don't just believe because you know the Bible, you know everything. There are things you don't know. I'm saying it again. We are not getting the power because there are things we don't know. Oh, we don't know it. They are the ones that have the knowledge. It is the knowledge of the serpent. We have to go to... Okay. They have it. Have it. It is a Christian you invite for the birthday of your child and say, I'm too busy to come. You see a state governor will be going for the birthday of the child of the cousin of the president, because they understand the power of contact, the power of relationship. They have structures that message certain people per time to tell them that it's us. We are the ones that don't understand, and we don't really care to, because we believe once you have this thing in church, you have everything. It's a lie. Our experience in this nation is showing us we don't have the wisdom of a serpent. That's the truth. Election will come again, they will share rice and they will win. Because those who are going to take the rice, there are many. And we have not done anything about them. So they're going to share it again and they will win. And the only thing you will do is to shout. And when you see that you don't have the wisdom to enter, you say, God, come down for Nigeria. It's not a crime for God to come down. But God is saying, I've placed you here. You've got to understand what to do. Many of these prophecies about this thing, I've noticed that they are not absolute. And I said it. They are not absolute prophecies because the people you are talking about are not waiting. They understand the route of sacrifice. If you like, say somebody is saying Bala Blue. With the Bala Blue, he will win over you that is a prof. Because they understand how to climb. They know how to climb. You see the knot saying he gave power to this other person. He couldn't enter for years. Now we can betray him. We have to support him. The question is, you, that is the good man, who do you have the record of supporting? It's just because maybe I'm touching stuff. I'm not a politician, but I know what I'm saying. Because I know what I'm saying, and I just wish that we will understand. I wish that the church will learn this. I wish that my people will come to this understanding that it's not just by coming to church and we lock ourselves up. We pray, and our prayer is valid when we have our Daniels and Josephs in the field and we can keep strengthening them. But we are the ones that still misunderstand them and send them curses and all that because they have compromised. I saw something today that if Daniel was on a WhatsApp group, the name of the WhatsApp group will be Witches and Sorcerers. The name of the WhatsApp group will be Witches and Sorcerers. So I can't join this thing because I am not a witch. You need the wisdom of a serpent. I've said this, that it doesn't take intelligence to make first class in Nigerian schools. It takes character. You've got to learn how to relate with the lecturers, understand them, try pass their course, because you don't need 100 to get an A. You just need 70. And you can get 70, 70, 70, 70 and see if you need a perfect GP. And sometimes it's favor. You have to learn how to walk your way to the hands of great men. We are not learning, and it doesn't look like we are ready to learn. They said the part of this country are those that should learn politics. I think the church are still lagging behind them. Are we having men who are ready to enter into those dark corners? Are we having men who are ready to play the game? Daniel, you would have to play the game. The game won't change until you are in control. You want to change it when your kinds are many? You want to change it when you can be easily replaced? You want to change when there are thousands of people that can do what you are claiming to do? You've got to build relevance and make yourself indispensable. Your goal is to first make yourself irreplaceable. Can I do that? Yes, you can. That's your duty. That is when you have the negotiation power. It is with that you can talk. You don't like the system, but you'll have to rise through the system. Then to change the system you don't like. You can't rise. You see, even Joseph, even Moses that will rescue the Israelites to go to the palace that he will confront. He needs to understand their psychology. He needs to understand their language. He needs to know how they think. God didn't bring somebody who was never in that palace. He may not know what he's up against and see it and run. Because God said he needed them to the way of the Philistines because they will see war and run. Moses knew them. He knew their military artillery. He knew everything. So he knew what he was up against from the very beginning. How do you bounce things? How do you bounce? They say, imagine that place of work. They are saying we must take coffee in the morning so we can be effective. And fasting is going on in our church. Fasting is going on in our church. You want to know the solution. Fasting is going on in your church. However, now you have the privilege of sitting with the president. And now they have served you. Fasting is going on in our church. How do we go about this kind of fasting? There is a need for the wisdom of a serpent. You don't understand it. So you just get there and say, so Israel of Light Church, these are actually our amount of fasting. So, now, are you aware that most, and thank God there's a soldier here, most of the soldiers you see, maybe they have mustache, but they don't really keep beards and all those things. who have been in the system, they don't really keep beards and all that. But there are some special soldiers. Am I correct? Special intelligence. That they have to look like they are not soldiers. So they keep beards. You have an invitation to go to Iraq to preach. You've got to go look for a jalabiya. You've got to look for all those caps and tie them. You're actually even not going to die. And you are not actually renouncing your faith if you go some step further and make sure the trouser is jumping. And you can even make the part of your head a bit. You have not bowed to Baal. You are just wearing the costume for the occasion. Sometimes the costume for the occasion is actually that you eat. And you fast later. I said you eat. And you fast later. You get the deal signed. Then you fast later. You eat. Pick the knife. Pick the spoon. Pick the fork. Eat. Then you fast later. You don't even have to know you are fasting. There's a fast and still come out elegant. Oh, I can't bear level. Right now, most of the powerful negotiations in this country are done at night. That's truth. They are done at night. Can I speak to business people? I said they are done at night. Check the house of most powerful people. Their cooks cook much at night. Majority of those who come to visit, visit at night. If you're going to be a powerful person, you've got to understand night. You cannot be the guy who is aiming for your wife to be cooking for 30, 600 people in a day. You've got to plan an indoor chef. Because this is what your kind needs. Cooking skill is powerful for both male and female at certain level because of the effectiveness of this person. We can reduce the person to the kitchen. Only kings should marry queens. Let's assume I'm the governor of this state. I'm not trying to break down values. I'm just steering religion. I'm steering culture. Because the curriculum is changing. Sphere of life, the curriculum is changing. If I'm the governor of this state before marrying my wife, cooking skill will not be among the quality to check. Because we are busier than that. What is he saying now? My daughter? Look at the way we have destroyed our girls. You better know how to cook because you are going to a man's house. You better know how to sweep because one day you'll be in your husband's house. And everything about our importance is about husband's house. And we have smart girls who are not effective because they are only raised for the kitchen. They are smart on campus. They are the best at their place of work. But through marriage, they become more. We water down their importance. And one funny guy who is not even making anything, you have to stop your job because you can't be earning more than a man. Everyone who knows to eat good food must know how to cook it. Girls, you cook good food because you deserve good food. It's simple as that. If you have not learned to love yourself, you can't love a man successfully. The guys are not happy. Because it's like we are spoiling business. And girls fall in their economic importance when they marry a neighbor. She's not checking for anything. Is she good in bed? What does she have? Does she have backside? Not like what a madman is looking for. Does she have this? That's all. How does she think? How does she reason? What kind of problems can she solve? What kind of capacity has she built? Where is she going? How can I help her get there? I can tell you my wife is 10 times I found her. That's the fact. That's the fact. You can't even look at her and know when we got married. Because growth is fast around this corner. Fact. Sometimes my wife tries everything to come and serve me my food herself. And I say, send someone. Send someone. You're busy. Send someone. Not like it is honor when she does it herself. And then you complain that there's scarcity. There will be. Because what should be two chasing 10,000 is one chasing less than 500. Since he has destroyed the other one. Hey, the curriculum is changing. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. It's a new day over the church and over the nation. They're announcing a new season. We'll keep being thrown outside the gate if we don't understand. It's a new day. Tell your neighbor it's a new day. Tell your neighbor, get up, wake up, wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day. The curriculums are changing. Are you following what I'm saying here? We're going to eradicate poverty in Christian homes when the two people are effective doing their stuffs. And you put protocol for managing the things that can be delegated. Some things are not that important. They can actually be delegated. Why you supervise? Because your time is of importance. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just in case you, so you know, it is not part of romance in my house that I'm busy changing diapers. It is not part of romance. Is it good? Because I'm the father of the child, it's good. But all those things can be handled. Sometimes girls compel men to do some stuff. It's good when a man does it. He actually should do it. Don't just leave it. Both of you get better to each other. You should do it. But that's not the primary way to rate a good man. The reason you are forcing him to do it is because his time is of no essence. That time he's spending is not bringing any millions. So, what are you doing with that time? Do it! And men, how do you reject, how do you balance that? Be of value, be of value, be of value, be of value. Peter said in Acts 6, it is not reason for us to leave the world and serve at tables. These things can be delegated. Let's look out seven men of honest report, full of the Spirit, that we can appoint over these things. Jethro told Moses, you will die doing what can be delegated. Would it be the reason why you are getting older than your age? Many of the things you are busy doing are not that important. Some places, if you don't go, they won't miss you. They won't miss you, and they are not actually missing you. I'm not westernizing the gospel. And by the way, this is not the gospel. The gospel is of his birth, death, resurrection. Is that okay? But this is a principle in the gospel. Very important. I'm saying that for the sake of doctrinal soldiers. We learn doctrine and we start with theology by the grace of God. Are you following what I'm saying? Now sit down for a while. Let me say this to you. You know, Nigerians, we are very emotional people. One time, I was somewhere. And somebody was invited to come preach. And I just made an observation that this fellow did not prepare for this meeting. I just made an observation. And I saw from the beginning of the meeting till the end of the meeting, what we were doing was fire there, 10 angels pouring this. Were things happening? Yes. But revivals will die that way. So, the fact that we are getting little results from the things we are doing is not a proof that it's the best way. And people don't like it when you say this. Because as long as God is moving, it means he endorsed it. No, it's not true. For 40 years, the Israelites never lacked food, didn't lack protection, didn't lack provision, didn't lack many things. But yet, God was not pleased with them. God was not pleased with them. So we need to understand the correct strategies for getting things done. In Nigeria, we are in the days of a king that knows not Joseph. Politics doesn't know us anymore. There was a time the center of politics was the church. I didn't get that. I said, are you aware? There was a time that prophets functioned directly with kings. They are not speaking based on CIA intel. They are speaking based on heaven intelligence. And they can say there's a voice in Israel that hears what the king is saying in Samaria. Prophets, as we used to know, were closer to the palace than the church. How come the gate of the palace are now far from us? The institution that has produced more singers, probably 90% of those shaking the world, is the church. How come we now struggle to take back that same media? We churn them out, but we can't maintain them. I've seen offense in some quarters, sometimes in church, that we have reputation for raising mighty men. That reputation is faulty. If we don't have a reputation for grooming, maintaining, and deploying the mighty men, if they have to leave us for their might to show, we have a fault. Now I'm leaving you. I'm leaving you. I'm leaving you. You know, recently I started checking up on T.G. Omori, boy director. Some of you don't know him because you know Leviticus and all that. I know. And I still know the scriptures you don't know by the grace of God. So I know him. He's, we call him boy director. He's by far the best video director, music video director in Nigeria. And he's just 27 years old. How old? 27. I'm not using them as your example. I just want to show you some stats. Wizkid is 31. Davido, Wizkid going to 32. Davido going to be 31. Burna Boy going to be 31. Rema, 20 something, maybe 24, 25. Some of you don't even know him. Well, I know them. And I do check what they are doing differently. I wonder why our videos are having 500 and something views and they're having millions of views in no time. What are they doing differently? Because over time, if we don't investigate, it looks like they are the only ones that exist. And we are saying what makes sense, but we don't know how to push it. It's not enough to have what is better. You must know how to market it. Now I'm losing you. If Burna Boy will say, I'm coming for a free concert in Ibadan, more crowd will gather than they will gather for a Donkey Crusade. Are they more anointed? Would they be that they just know how to market it and we've not learned it? Father, if it is yours, push it yourself. And it is amongst us we have those who believe they have to be 40 to succeed. If you see a believer who is 25 and more successful or as successful as those guys, they say he's not born again anymore. Can I tell you that time is leaving you? The issue is that those who are your contemporaries in the world, you look like they are last born. And you are age mates. When they speak now, they speak with the authority of your father. Because you think you have to have some more decades to be mature. And even when God put powerful things in your hands, you say, I'm still a young boy. But the Rema doesn't mind singing before 1 million people at 24, 25. But you, when you speak before 2000, say, I feel too young. I need to go and hide for a while. Would it be that our hunger has been killed? And greatness land looks like a sin. Amen. And when you have a church like this, it's mighty. At how many years of the establishment of the church? Are we really running our pace? Because we are calling speed is what God is angry about. And somehow, our people are dreaming for more because our community is a gathering of small men. Mean men. Nobody is inspired to dream more. Nobody cares. Because here you are trained to marry and suffer. It's the culture we have built in the kingdom, but that's not the kingdom Jesus gave us. The heir of the house, as long as he's a child, differeth him nothing from his servant. He will live on the economy of his servant because he's still small, his own mind. He that comes to honor but understandeth it not is like a beast that perish. God is giving you power early. Take it early. Take it early. He's giving you prominence early. Take it early. He's giving you wealth early. Take it early. He's giving us influence early. Take it early. Don't postpone what is for today for another decade. Because you believe somebody was actually 40 something, then this, I love what they were at 40. But you could have been that at 26. But you say, God, give me at 40. Give me at 40. Give me at 40. Could it be that one of the reasons why we are struggling to get there is that we are played down on some factors that are also important in the kingdom? You know, revival is powerful, but the worst evil also happened during revival. The devil also has the loudest voice during revival. He speaks loudest when you believe everything you hear. Just at the peak of that move, he finds a way to gain expression. It just helps you stretch a body of truth. Then that's him talking. It was God until he stretched it. Didn't get that. And you say, it is pure holiness. God is not giving the church any wealth because... And then we miss it. We left TV screens. Now DSTV is muting Jesus out. We're in the days of us trying to get back what Joseph used to do. And the church now needs to have transgenerational wisdom for success. And may I announce to you, if you are still where you used to be, the boat has moved. And very soon, you may find no relevance in that your expression because things have changed. God is sending people who do next level assignments, who are getting next level wisdom. And I know what? It takes flexibility to receive it. Because some things will counter what you said yesterday. Let them counter it anyways. It doesn't matter. I've said I won't be a man of my word. I'll be a man of his word. So if I was wrong, I'm wrong. And I love what you said on Sunday. That today's excellence is tomorrow's mediocrity. Powerful word. We have dwelt around this mountain for too long. Even when you are getting the things you are getting now that should have happened 5 years ago, you still feel too young to have it. We have very small-minded people. We gave them the Bible, took sense from them. If truly we will strive for what is ours, then our result will change. And guess what? We are not compromising faith for it. We need it to now legislate. They will not give us attention if we are begging them for the jobs, begging them for the money, begging them to come and sow in our churches, begging them to come and give in our meetings, begging, they say they will come and beg us to come and give after. So if we can tell you what you are doing is fraudulent, I must be able to produce what you are getting in the right way. I can't judge you if I don't have the wisdom to produce it. It is not enough to shut things down. I must know how to build. Result is a language. And when you start having doctrines against it, that's a legal reason to be small. And you'll be small scripturally. Scripturally. Because people fulfill what they see. They fulfill what they think is theirs. Luke 4:18, Jesus spoke and said, this scripture written about me He has anointed me to do many things and began to mention what Isaiah said about him. Well, you can find scripture that is not yours and fulfill it. You can find a rhema for 1926 and bring it to 2023. Because you are slow. Some of you, your what's it called now? Your iOS. What's it called? There's something, your operating system is stale. You've got to upgrade. You can't carry the weight of what God is doing now. Your candle will crash. The church in Nigeria is rerouting. The church in Nigeria is rerouting. And this is where the wise virgins will be separated from the foolish. Because they'll be flexible. When the master move, they will move. When the master turn, they will turn. The church in Nigeria is rerouting. Lift your hands. And say, God, my eyes are not veiled in this season. I receive the wisdom to see what you're doing. I receive the wisdom. I'm not veiled. I'm not veiled. I'm not veiled. I'm not veiled. Jesus, I receive the wisdom. I'm not veiled in this season. I'm not veiled. I receive the wisdom to know what to do. I'm not veiled. Oh, I'm not veiled, Jesus. I receive the wisdom. Oh, I receive the wisdom. I'm going to give you 1 minute. Please pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. The Lord spoke to me recently while I was praying. He said, son, I'm lifting your horn and your voice so that you would now be able to speak to the continent of Africa. He said, because of what I'm set to do. Now listen, if anybody counters the things we're saying now, there's no issue with it. But it may take people 20 years to come to it. And I'm on a journey of conviction. I know what God is saying. I'm not waiting for any approval. I'm not. That's what apostolic ministry is. I'm not waiting for any approval. While we're in the season where we keep hearing Islamization agenda, we've got to understand Christianization agenda. It's also an agenda. It ought to be. It ought to be deliberate and we have to wear costumes. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Father, I ask that out of this place, functionaries will emerge. Men and women who are bold, audacious, and strong. Who are flexible to run with your plan and agenda. Men and women who are wise. People, we will not be afraid of getting into the system. And rewriting history. Father, I ask that in this season, over Nigeria, over the church in Nigeria, and over the continent of Africa, history is being rewritten. We are blotting out wrong narratives and men are rising that will take the systems back. Amen. These ones will not break their ranks. Amen. And they will keep moving forward, conquering and to conquer. Amen. Now hear this, no matter how bad the system of the world is, one among those that God has raised successfully will displace what they're doing. They just, that's not a prayer. They just need to understand that it is God who has sent them. They just need to get there. Because kingdom and generations have been placed in your heart. May your eyes begin to see real wealth. May you know where they are. May you know how to pursue. May you know how to appropriate it. In the name of Jesus. And I bless you. You are blessed. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's give the Lord a big hand.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.